We all dream of seeing the world, but the realities of living somewhere outside your place of birth can be daunting, to say the least. Welcome to the Expat Money Show, helping you make the most out of your overseas career through conversations with successful expats on investing, entrepreneurship, self-improvement, and continual education, all while sharpening your financial acumen. Now please welcome your host, with over 20 years of overseas experience, Mikkel Thorup.
Today's episode of the Expat Money Show is brought to you by Crypto Future Wealth Academy, building wealth through Bitcoin, Ethereum, altcoins, and ICOs, the best cryptocurrency education in the world. And for listeners of the Expat Money Show, enjoy 10% off your membership today. Visit expatmoneyshow.com/CFW and use promo code expat at checkout. That's expatmoneyshow.com/CFW and promo code expat at checkout to receive 10% off your membership today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Expat Money Show. Today, we're really blessed to have on the line with us a true entrepreneur. He has had a very interesting story. He is the founder of Naked Brands, including Naked Pizza, Naked Travel, Naked Beauty Bars, and now Naked Technologies, which is a fully asset-backed cryptocurrency. He is the host of Get a House for Free on Channel 4 in the UK and has written two best-selling books, including The Financial Freedom Guarantee and Closing the Deal and Suddenly Grow Rich. Please welcome to the show Mr. Marco Robinson. Marco, how are you?
Hey, Mikkel. Thanks for that extremely elaborate introduction.
I do what I can. Me and Marco met at the International Blockchain Summit earlier this year. I watched you up on stage, Marco. I said to myself, I have to have you on the show.
Oh, that's very nice. I remember that. That's very kind.
So, Marco, why don't you take a few minutes and kind of go through your story with us and explain where you came from and a bit about your backstory.
Okay, so my backstory is that when I was 2 years old, my mum left my dad because he was a gambler and he ran up debts all over town, so she had no choice other than to leave. So she went to live with her mum and her stepdad sexually abused her, and he'd already done that before to her when she was a kid. So it took a lot of courage for her to come back to that situation. And in fact, she only told me this last year before this TV show went out. So we had to leave that place, and then we had to leave outside to live rough for quite a while because we had nowhere to go. And we went to lots of different places around the UK. I went to about 50 different schools before I was 10. So I was always bullied. I was always the new kid. And I was always unsettled. I mean, I didn't have many friends, and, you know, I used to run away from the situations. I didn't really go to school. I hated it. So I lived in my imagination a lot, and I found solace in doing that. So fast forward a few years from that, and what I decided to do was work so I could get my mum more secure and stable. So I got like four jobs when I was about time as I was 13, worked like crazy. And then I got into direct sales, made a lot of money doing that. And one of the first things I did was look after my mum to make sure she was all right. So did that, became successful. And then I decided to become an entrepreneur, and I did my own motivational seminars. I wrote a few books, a couple of books I've told you already, as you know about. And then fast forward again, and one of my businesses in 2008 was very successful. And from that, I started buying lots of properties after subprime. And then I got into the cryptocurrency world about 2 years ago because I was really fascinated and excited at the same time, because Bitcoin was a reaction to the subprime crisis in America that made 50 million people homeless around the world. And I used to tell the story how banks basically subjugated you to financial and slavery. And, you know, a lot of the people in the world, 99% really retire poor. And this is, you know, the wealth keeping 75% of the wealth to them, 1%, but not educating people to make money for themselves. So that's why I was interested in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. That's my story, really.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So jumping back a little bit further, because I would like to unpack a few of those things. So you said you started working at a very young age, at around 12 or 13. And then you actually left school very early as well, didn't you?
Well, I didn't officially leave school. I mean, I played truant a lot. I mean, at the time I was 16, I left. So, and then I just got into work straight away, and I was cleaning floors, I was doing computer input, entry, and stuff like that, really menial jobs, you know. And then I just got into sales. I learned that I was good at sales, so I started doing that.
Yeah, so when I was doing my research on you, I actually saw that you've sold over $1 billion worth of products and services. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
How were you able to take something like sales and then just take it so far?
Well, what happened is I got into sales because I wasn't happy in my last job, but the sales job was commission only. It was actually timeshare. And in those days, timeshare was a bad thing. And I was the world's worst salesperson. I mean, I was very shy. they always kept getting no's all the time. And literally, I was there for 4 weeks and said, listen, if you don't get a deal or sale tomorrow, you're going to be fired, Marco. You better do something about it. So the top salesperson heard this conversation and he gave me a book. He said, Marco, forget all what they tell you. You've got something inside of you which is really powerful. I want you to read this book. Go home. Read it again until you get the message. And this is the first book I ever read. And because I was desperate, I had no money, no food, nothing. Read the book about 8 times, went to the office the following day, and I closed my first deal. And I said, why did you buy from me? And they said, well, we could see the belief in your eyes of the product. We just knew you believed it, and then we believed it. And that really was a powerful lesson for me. And as soon as I discovered that law, if you like, then I just went and became very successful at doing that. And then I got so successful, became the best salesperson in the company, youngest sales manager. I got offered jobs all over the world. And one of the jobs was in Malaysia to work for a public company to turn that around. And I went there in 97. And I turned that into a $1 billion company in literally 2.5 years by making products with a very compelling value proposition, but also building a very, very powerful team of about 3,000 salespeople under me. And I built that team through motivation and inspiration and the discipline of actually how to structure a presentation that the value comes across very quickly. So that's really the story of that.
That's incredible. And what are you working on now, Marco?
Well, now I'm pretty much full on into the blockchain world and the cryptocurrency world. So I have my own currency called Naked Dollars, which you mentioned earlier, which is the world's first asset-backed hybrid utility token. So we own properties that are, the mortgages is paid off and that's pumped into the blockchain. But also we own businesses worth about $100 million that are very popular, like the travel sector, the restaurant sector, the entertainment sector, the education sector, cosmetics. So we've taken the cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and we've turned it into something they can actually use to buy normal everyday products for a lot less money than you would do normally. So that's the value proposition. That's actually being listed next week on the stock exchange. And since then, I've done my second cryptocurrency called Big Love, following on for my Channel 4 TV show, where if you think about charity, most people give to charity to feel guilty because they just feel they have to do it, but they don't know where the money's going or is ever going to reach them. And now it's actually a fact that over 50% of the funds never reach the end user. So I've invented a charity called Blockchain, and the blockchain verifies the funds to make sure the end user gets that. And actually you can send a meal to the homeless, send a blanket to them, get them out of an emergency situation, and then you can actually finance a home, finance a business for them. They can earn it. You can rehabilitate them and stuff like that. But you can see the narrative of that person you're helping on your phone in terms of video content. And I don't know if you've ever had that feeling, but when you're actually able to give someone something that you didn't have and you're able to change their life and you can actually see it working for them, it's the most fulfilling thing ever in your life you can ever think of doing, you know?
That's unbelievable. So using the trustless system of blockchain and not having to worry about where the money is going, you're able to get more of it directly into their hands.
We're able to get a lot more of it. And because the technology which allowed that to happen, because every charity in the world is not seamless. There's always someone taking someone from somewhere. So blockchain allows that money to be used in the most efficient way. Everyone knows it's going to get there because you can see the traces of the money in every step of the way. So because of that trust, people feel good about giving the money, but they can actually see the person benefiting from it, which is very powerful.
So how does it work? You are in an ICO stage right now, or it's already gone through pre-sale and ICO?
We just began a pre-ICO. We've raised about $5 million for that already. We're still in a pre-ICO stage for that. So we're going to be ICOing that in March. But this has got no hard cap because you can't limit love, as in big love. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I like it very much.
So Ethereum doesn't have a hard cap, and that's now, it went to $1,400 at a peak that it was only $4 18 months ago. So the potential of this is, I think, the biggest thing I've ever seen, because everybody loves to give, but they don't really get the benefit of the feeling. And also, they can actually get paid from it and give back themselves if they want. So it's a two-way thing rather than just donating money blindly, you know.
Mm-hmm. And if someone wants to get involved in this, where would they find Big Love tokens?
You're not going to find it yet because we're in the pre-ICO stage to our own investors. We've not even got the website ready yet.
Ah, okay.
We've still raised $5 million. So we've got the infographic video ready. You know, we've got the technology nearly ready. So basically, I would say on that question, where can you find out about it? Just follow me on my social media.
So if someone wanted to follow you on social media, they could go to Marco Robinson 7 on Twitter. And I saw you've got something like 137,000 followers on there.
Yeah. So I'm active on social media. Instagram is very active for me. And Twitter's probably the best. But, you know, I'm posting information every day on updates of where I'm going with my projects. So that's the best way to find out.
Excellent. And for the other cryptocurrency that you had started, for Naked Dollars, where can people find out about that?
That's going to be listed on a exchange called Livecoin within the next week.
Within the next week. So early 2018, if you guys are listening to the recorded version of this in the future.
It's listed at 70 cents. That's going to be really solid in terms of growth because it's the only asset backed that's truly asset backed. So a lot of people say they're asset backed, but they're actually not. And all these properties are pumped into a blockchain as a smart contract, and so are the businesses. When you buy a Naked Dollar, you actually own part of the properties and you actually own part of the businesses as well. That's the difference with it.
So is it a set amount of coins that are out there for this then?
It's 100 million hard cap, and it'd be listed as NKD on Litecoin.
I am definitely checking this one out. So I would love to learn a little bit more about the assets that are backed behind this. So this is your personal brand. This is Naked Brands as well as your properties. Where do you own these properties? Where do you own these businesses? Because I think the story behind that is also very interesting.
The residential property is based in the USA, the UK, and a little bit of part of Asia. The mortgages have been paid off. There's about 50 properties in there right now, but we're growing that. And because my background is real estate, you know, what I do is I flip those properties to make sure they're always giving the right returns. The businesses, the travel, Naked Travel is a global travel business that's actually got a license in every country in the world. So you can buy flights, you can buy rooms with cryptocurrency. It's the first one in the world. Any travel need you have, you can buy it with crypto, which I think you'd agree is very powerful. We own 5 restaurants now. We have 20,000 affiliate restaurant partners. You can use crypto to buy a meal, for example. We have a cosmetics company called NKDB, which stands for Naked Beauty. You can buy your cosmetics with cryptocurrency. We've got an education company where we do personal development. We've just very exciting news, actually. We've just created North American Entrepreneur University based in Orlando. We've got the building, and we're going to be launching an education coin where you can pay for your degree now. But by the time you finish your degree, the crypto would have risen enough to pay for the degree course completely. That's very exciting. We own a film company called Naked Film, and we've just funded the first feature film in Hollywood with a Hollywood cast, including me, raised $5 million already. Just signed the contract literally today. That's exciting because obviously people love entertainment and film. And film, all these businesses, what they do is they give Naked Dollars a lot of attention in the market. That attention gives buyers a lot of confidence, which means they buy more Naked Dollars. And I think you'd agree, those buying signals, they're very out there. They're not like hidden anywhere in technical forums. So what happens is you get a lot of user adoption, which is very exciting. That's the difference with this.
Well, congratulations on signing the deal today. That sounds really exciting.
That's really exciting. The film's called Legacy of Lies. It's a spy fiction thriller. And we're just signing the actors next week, literally. So that's been a dream of mine for 40 years to be in a film. I make my own film. So I just got the money together to do it. So it's really good.
Wow. How do you have time to do so many things, Marco? This is unbelievable. I'm listening to your list of accomplishments here and projects you have on the go, and it's making me tired just going through it. How do you go through all this stuff? How do you accomplish so much?
Well, the first thing is there is no victory without the struggle. So for me, I'm used to a lot of struggle because I've been in the worst kind of places. So for me, working and doing what I love is not really a struggle. I love doing what I do. Secondly, I have a fantastic team around me. I have an amazing business partner that doesn't like to be in the front or, you know, on stage. He likes to be in the background doing all the technical work. But he's a genius in terms of talking to somebody that you respect, but also gives you amazing ideas that, you know, for Big Love, he gave a lot of input for that, which I wouldn't be here without him, if you know what I mean. And now I have a team in pretty much every region in the world. I've got a team in America, I've got a team in the Middle East, I've got a team in Asia. And they arrange all the events I speak at. So I don't have to do much, really. I turn up to an event, I speak, then I just leave. But in the background, what I do as an entrepreneur is I create a lot of ideas, and then I start executing them by giving people tasks to finish those projects with me as a team, different projects, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I was watching some of your videos from a couple of years ago on YouTube, and it was talking about how you actually remove yourself from all types of distraction. So you'll leave your laptop, your phone, everything like this, and you will put on basically a do not disturb sign and just focus and spend time thinking and creating. Can you break down some of those ideas for me?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say it was rigid like that. What I do is I say, right, I need to escape. So what I'll do is I will ask a question in my head. I'll get an idea. So, right, how can I make this idea into a business or something that gives value and serves people? And I'll keep asking the question. I'll get the answers only if I'm having a shower, I'm going to the gym, or I'm out somewhere with friends, because my mind is more relaxed then. And what happens is when my mind is relaxed, I'm open more to the universe and give me those answers back. And that's the most powerful time in terms of creativity. You know, so I can be out for dinner with someone, for example, and suddenly get an idea and have to write it down because it comes to me when I'm relaxed, if you know what I mean. It's like it's a curse, but it's a blessing at the same time because you don't know when those ideas are going to come to you. And they normally come, to be honest with you, when I'm doing something other than work, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So what I heard you say was that you have it kind of from a three-prong approach. You'll make sure that you have a fantastic team around you. You actually love what you do. So even if you're busy all day long, for you, it's not work. And then when you do switch off, things are kind of running in the background anyways, which are able to create and produce new ideas.
Yeah, correct.
That's excellent. So, Marco, I want to switch gears a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about the show that was on Channel 4, Get a House for Free?
Yeah. Last year, Channel 4 approached me, and actually thousands of millionaires in the UK, asking them if they would like to give a house away on TV to address the social housing issue. Social housing issue is that people these days cannot afford even to get a deposit together to buy a house. The mortgage is so expensive that by the time they pay it, they can't really eat or enjoy life. And there is, in the UK right now, about 400,000 people living rough who don't have a home. In the world, there's more than, well, millions. There's over 50 million homeless. So I was asked and I said, yes, I would love to do that because, of course, I was homeless, so I understood the situation. So I went and made the show. You can actually watch that on Channel 4 as a playback, a recording, if you go to the Channel 4 app. But you can watch that. There's like 25,000 applicants, but we got down to three people. But I was only allowed to give one house away. But in the end, you'll see that I give three houses away. So I gave one house away to a single mother who was 19 and she'd been sexually abused by five stepfathers. Imagine that. She was living in a house where there was rain dripping through the ceiling with a small baby. And there were Syrian asylum seekers that paid $20,000, US dollars, to leave Syria 10 years ago to human traffickers. And they ended up in a ship container, didn't know where they were going to be. They ended up in the UK on £30 a week. Last year, there were £30 a week was taken away because they couldn't get asylum approved. And they were living rough for about a year. A dad was 64, two children, 21. Dad was a PhD, children, master's degrees, very educated, the most lovely people you ever met. And there was a blind lady that was working for the emergency services who was 50 years old, just didn't have any money. And she was blind, answering 999 calls all day long, but just getting nowhere on the housing ladder, you know. So that's how it all started.
Wow. Those are heartbreaking stories. I have chills just listening to them right now. And so you actually gave away a house to all three of them.
I gave three houses away, yeah.
I remember when I was speaking to you at the conference earlier this year, you were saying that the UK government has now approved you for allocation of additional homes. Isn't that right?
No, so it's not the government. It's the local authorities. So imagine the local state in America. So the local authorities are independent of the government. They have their own funds and they have their own houses. But they have a lot of houses that are actually empty because they haven't renovated them and they haven't done anything with them. So they have said to me, said, listen, we've got like over 200,000 houses here. If you're willing to spend some money on renovation, we're willing to give them to you to give to the homeless to actually work out a program for them. So that's one opportunity that came out of that.
Wow. So you and your team are now responsible for allocating over 200,000 homes in the United Kingdom.
Yes.
How do you tackle a project that large?
It's not easy.
That I believe for sure. Yeah.
So that's why, really, because when I made the show after the show, I thought, well, how can I reach more people? So that's where the Big Love idea came in. And without technology, it's not possible to do that. Without a good team, it's not possible to do that. With the Big Love technology program, the charity. So the charity, the blockchain technology allocates the houses so people can earn a house and they're able to get on the ladder and stuff like that. So it's a very technical thing, but it's also very structured. It's not like we don't give it to anyone. They've got to earn it.
Yeah, which makes sense. I'm starting to see how all the pieces kind of fit together, because when I look at your backstory and I go through your websites, it just looks like so many things here. I'm trying to take notes and do my research here, trying to figure it all out. But I'm starting to get a better picture now with the TV show, with your background, with the housing developments and your background in real estate.
It's actually quite a simple story how it all comes together. But, you know, the story of success is never a straight line, Mikhail. You know, you start somewhere. And then I really, truly, to be honest with you, when I filmed that program last year, I only really discovered my purpose last year. And I looked back at my story that I was homeless and kind of I was meant to do this, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very powerful shift in my life, that my purpose became one thing rather than so many businesses, because everything I was doing was helping that one thing, if you get what I mean.
So what are your goals now? Where do you want to take things in the future then?
I want to beat Davos next year with Big Love on the big stage with all the celebrities and all the powerful people endorsing what I'm doing and really saying this is amazing. It's really helping so many people. So that's how where I see myself in a year's time right now.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to following up with you in 12 months and watching your progress. So you mentioned that you were in Asia and you own some of the restaurants over there. Do you think those markets are still hot for business, for entrepreneurship, or maybe for real estate?
Yeah, I was 20 years there. But I was there because the thing about Asia is it's very cheap to start a business. It's more entrepreneurial and there's less red tape that you have to go through. You need less capital. So in Asia, it's a great place to test your ideas. It's not going to cost you as much money as it would do in England or Europe or the US. So, you know, you can learn a lot from Asians. And if you look at it, you know, cryptocurrency trading, 60% is Asia. You know, Japan and Korea are the biggest crypto trading platforms in the world. And they actually dictate the price of Bitcoin and all the other currencies in the world in terms of digital currency. So Asia is very powerful and there's a shitload of money now in Asia. Excuse my language, but put it in context. Mm-hmm. China doesn't really have any debt anymore. You know, they've got so much more money than America. They own the US dollar. So if you look at it now, the way it's gone is that America used to outsource work to China. Now China's outsourcing work to America. That's the shift in wealth.
Yeah, absolutely. So where did you spend your time when you were there for 20 years? And do you think those countries are going to continue to boom?
I think I really have to take this in two levels because I have to take one level on the question of, are they going to boom in conventional ways, in conventional business? And are they going to boom in cryptocurrency? Because that's really the fastest growing thing right now. Asia, Southeast Asia, the property market is dead. It's dropped 50% in the last few years. People are not making money in property in Asia, that's for sure. China, they are still, it's still growing. It's coming to a peak now in China. Because of the population, you get a lot of Chinese that are traveling around the world and spending lots of money. When you go to Paris, you don't see any Europeans in the Louis Vuitton shops. You only see Chinese people in Paris buying stuff, designer yeah. stuff.
No, I understand that completely. I was in Paris this week, and it's amazing when you get on the aircraft, they all have LV bags, Coco Chanel, all these big brands.
Yeah. So that's the shift in wealth. The disposable income in China is way more than Southeast Asia. And a lot of the Chinese, they buy properties in Singapore with cash. So a lot of the properties are actually empty in Singapore because they pay cash, but they don't live there, but they don't want to rent them. And that's similar to London. 50% of the properties in London are empty because people don't want to live in them. You've got rich Arabs buying them, Russians, that don't only live there 1 month a year. So they've actually dictated the property market in those places. And even if you want to buy, you can't. So therefore, in London, there's always demand because you can't buy something cheap anymore because of the situation. In Asia, you know, what's happening is that right now you've got a lot of changes happening. You're kind of coming to the end of some growth in Asia right now. And people are looking for new ways to make money in Asia because they can't make it in property. So they're looking at retail businesses, but retail businesses are not making money. So now people are looking at online businesses, digital currency businesses. So people are shifting towards entrepreneurial stuff rather than conventional businesses, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And is that kind of why you've made one of the big switches to cryptocurrency as well?
Yeah, because I was, you know, I've written a book, a very intense book about property investment. And I knew the end of real estate was very close because I was in the Asian markets and even looking at the US and UK markets, they're not really performing anymore. So I thought, well, you know, this is not working anymore. So I thought crypto is really, you know, as a visionary, you can see where a trend is beginning. And right now, only 1% of the world's wealth is invested into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. And the price of Bitcoin went to $20,000 high in December. But if you look at $200 trillion as an industry, and if you look at 4% of that, Bitcoin is going to go to $80,000 and beyond. And now you're getting a lot of people shifting their investments from hedge funds over to cryptocurrency.
Yeah, when I was doing my research as well, I saw that you were meeting with John McAfee as well, who's quite outspoken in the cryptocurrency space. And his predictions are $100,000 or $500,000, $1 million for Bitcoin in the near future.
Yes, absolutely, because Bitcoin is like a collector's item and it's only got 21 million hard cap. So in the next 2 years for miners, there's only 6 blocks on a hash where there was 12 blocks right now. So it's getting more difficult to mine Bitcoin. It's coming to the end of its maturity. Like anything, when it comes to the end of something and it finishes off, the price goes up because you can't buy anymore. So Bitcoin is a collector's item of the crypto world. It's like the gold standard of you know, currency, fiat currency. But you've got Ethereum, which is a different ballgame. And this is you know, this is actually sparking a lot of altcoins that are coming onto the market. So you're getting a massive growth right now.
So any ideas what's going on in the markets? Because we've seen about a 50% of reduction, pretty much a halving of the market over the last, say, 3 weeks or so since New Year's.
Yeah, but if you look at that over the past 3 years, that's actually cyclical. Every January, it dips in the same way. And you can look at the charts going past 5 years now with Bitcoin, it's the same thing. But even so, the price of Bitcoin is still around $11,000. What was the price of Bitcoin last January?
Yeah, about $1,100, if that.
Well, thank you. And Ethereum has outperformed every cryptocurrency. It's even outperformed Bitcoin in the last year. So, you know, Bitcoin is not an exclusive investment in terms of making fantastic money. There is no investment in the world that's ever made as much money as Bitcoin has.
Yeah, they say it's the largest boom in human history for financial products, bigger than the dot-com in the late 90s, early 2000s, bigger than the housing, bigger than anything we've ever seen before.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would like to talk to you a little bit about the skills that have helped you to grow your empire there, Marco. What are some of the things that really helped you succeed, do you think?
The most important thing is to trust yourself and believe in what you're doing. And it's so easy to doubt what you're doing because you get so much rejection. So you can put an idea out there and you can be shut down by people that don't believe in it or don't believe in you. One of the most intrinsic value skills that you must have inside of you is the ruthless determination that no matter what people say, you will win at the end of the day. You must also understand that struggling is part of the deal. If you don't struggle, there's no victory. And trust me, I have struggled. So it's like a process. You've got to learn to accept failure as part of the struggle and embrace failure as getting closer to the goal, because it's just never a straight line. And a lot of people don't understand that and they get impatient and give up. And what I've always done is, because I've had nothing, it doesn't really matter to me if I have nothing again, because I can make it again. So I think the difference for me is I've been in the worst situations. So anything better than that is fantastic. So when I make decisions, I make them on an educated level from experience, but I don't have fear in pressing the button, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. So being able to have faith in your own abilities, believe in yourself, and then not giving up when things get challenging or difficult.
Yes. Absolutely.
I think that's one of the reasons that I was so keen to have you on the show as well, because I'm a high school dropout. I left at 15 years old. You left at 16 years old. I was seeing some of your previous jobs. You were stocking shelves when you were a teenager and sweeping up floors. I was doing the exact same thing at 15, 16 years old. So when you talk about struggle, I really understand what you mean. I had a very challenging upbringing as well, especially through my teenage years, and then have gone on to do quite a lot as well. So when I look at your stories, I see a huge similarity between us. So I'm really happy to have you on the show, Marco.
It's a pleasure. And, you know, your story is also very powerful, Mikhail. You know, we see in each other what we've been through, and it's actually communicating that to a lot of people that haven't been through what we've been through and haven't really struggled, really, and actually, you know, triumphed in anything they've tried their hand at. And, you know, a lot of people kind of give up too easy. But the answer is there's no answer. Anything is possible once you put your mind to it, once you let go of fear, and once you realize that, you know, we live on a planet spinning around 100,000 miles an hour in a space we know nothing about. Mm-hmm. How the hell does that happen, you know? So you've got to put it in perspective. People don't know. They get caught up with everyday life and paying the bills. You know, paying bills isn't living.
Yeah, I believe you there. So how do you communicate to people who maybe have not had such a struggling life as me and you have, and try to instill these types of values to them?
Well, it's like the old thing, I don't waste my time, Mikhail, with people that are not bothered about changing or too apathetic. There's only two reasons or two things that get people to take action: desperation or inspiration. You're either desperate to change because you've got a lot of pain in your life and you can't take it anymore, or you're inspired to change because you suddenly believe in yourself because you've seen someone that's done something that you wanted to do from nothing, and that's inspired you to go, shit, I can do the same thing. I can even do better than that. If there's anything in between desperation and inspiration, I wouldn't waste my time, Mikhail. You know, the teacher appears when the student is ready, and never has that been a truer statement.
One of my favorite quotes. So going towards pleasure or running away from fear, it's the motivators for all humans.
Yes.
So I'm curious, what are some of the skills that you think are going to be applicable to the future generations, maybe for children who are growing up in the next 20 or 30 years?
Well, for me, the number one skill for me in life, in handling life, is communication. At the end of the day, we're all human beings. We have to communicate in order to, you know, grow as people, but also get some perspective in life from your peers. And communication is the tool that is what business hangs on. Without communication, there's no business. So that's the most important thing that you've got to learn to use more of. And there's not enough communication. People are too much online these days rather than actually having a conversation with a real person, you know? So that's hugely important. And of course, the other thing that is very important is, if you look at the top six companies in the world right now, top six companies are technology companies. The only one that's not a technology company is Warren Buffett's company called Berkshire Hathaway Investment Group. But even he invests in technology companies. So the trend is technology. And if you're not in that trend of technology, cybersecurity, all of the things associated with technology, you're not going to be able to really make money, to be honest.
Hey guys, we will just take a quick break. Are you interested in learning how you can invest safely in cryptocurrencies and initial coin offerings? How you can make 100, 200, 500, and even 1,000% returns in a matter of months? I was skeptical at first as well, but it's happening, and it's happening every day. In episode number 2 of the Expat Money Show, we interview my crypto mentor, Jeff Lambert, a world-class crypto trader based out of Austria. I'm a member of his paid membership-only site, Crypto Future Wealth, and the insider information that I have received since I joined has been unreal. This is what I like to call an unfair advantage. As a thank you to the listeners of the Expat Money Show, I have spoken to Jeff, and I have negotiated a special discount for all new members. Visit expatmoneyshow.com/CFW and use promo code expat at checkout. That's expatmoneyshow.com/CFW and use promo code expat at checkout. So I know you're a father, Marco. Are these some of the things that you teach your children, that you try to instill in them? Communication and looking at technology and up-and-coming trends in the world?
Absolutely. And my kids travel with me. And my son, he started buying Bitcoin when he was 16. He's now 18. So
he's probably doing quite well for himself as well then.
He's doing very well. Now, he's a racing driver. He's the number one go-kart driver in the world right now. And he started driving racing when he was 4 years old. So when you're a racing driver, you kind of learn to be patient, but also you have to learn to be ruthless and determined, because to win a race is one of the most difficult things in life, because you have to be so disciplined to do that. And I think through that skill that is developed, is also developed a skill where it looks at things like cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and think, right, how can I apply that skill of racing driving into trading Bitcoin and cryptocurrency? And he's actually done it. He's actually made that transition very well. And he realizes that to make money in Bitcoin, you still have to be very disciplined and understand exactly what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that ruthless behavior that you were mentioning while he's a race car driver, did he get that from you?
Well, yeah. I mean, he got a lot of that from me, because, you know, I used to take him down to races in winter when it wasn't pleasant at all. And, you know, I'll tell you a story. He used to get tired before the end of the weekend, because when you're racing all weekend, it's kind of tiring. But I knew what the problem was. I knew he wasn't eating enough and he wasn't in the gym. He wasn't training. He wasn't eating properly. He was eating crap. He was eating sugar drinks. He was eating crappy food. And he wasn't getting prepared in the gym. And I told him, so listen, the reason you're getting tired is because of this. He wouldn't listen to me. So he eventually said, listen, because he wasn't getting the results in races, I'm stopping your racing. I'm taking it away from you. If you don't get to the gym and you don't eat, you're not going to race again. So I gave him some pain, because the racing is costing me about £2,500 a week. So that was giving me some pain as well. So I had to say, listen, mate, I'm not paying that kind of money again until you are sacrificing what I'm sacrificing to make that money for you to race. And it took a couple of years to get it into his head, right? But now he's in the gym more than I am, and I'm a gym freak. He can beat me in an arm wrestle. And because of that strength in the gym and that physicality he's learned and eating right and going to the gym properly, he's now winning races where before he was in the top 10. So that's made the huge difference. But for him to learn that, he had to have that realization himself. And he realized that he had to take responsibility for that, but actually do what I was telling him to do. And now he says to me every day, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be where I am. So as a father, that's one of the most amazing kind of paybacks, really, because you do the best for your kids. And sometimes you don't like telling them off, but you do it for the right reasons, you know.
I find this topic very, very fascinating because I think that a lot of children who grow up in privileged homes or homes that have wealth, how do you teach them those types of behaviors, that struggle and that pain, when in a lot of families, everything is just given to them now?
That's absolutely true, Mikael. I know a lot of wealthy people and I see the kids and I'm quite honestly disgusted at the behavior, but you know, they've only got that from the parents. They think money's very easy to get. So their expectation is, I don't have to do anything for money. What I do with my kids, they actually go and help. They go to charities, they go to homeless shelters, and they go on the street and meet homeless people and make them do it, you know? And that's made them realize, shit, if I don't do something about my life, I'm going to end up like that. So I kind of made them aware of it and got them to meet people that are really suffering, and that really shows them, shit, you know, now I understand about life. It's not about money. It's about what I can do for other people and how I can make a difference to them, you know?
Well, that's like the Zig Ziglar quote, you can get anything you want in this world if you help enough people get what they want.
Exactly. Very powerful. Yeah.
Super powerful. You mentioned that you were going to the gym, that you're a big gym nut. I actually saw on your profile that you had some health complications and then you've really turned things around in that part of your life as well.
Yeah. When I was 29, I had a mild heart attack. I had a lot of stress in my life. I was working 18 hours a day at work. It was crazy. And because of stress, I had this mild heart attack. So I had a scare then, and I changed my lifestyle. But then when I was 45, I had a similar thing, not as bad, but it was close. So what I decided to do is, right, I need to sort this out now. So I got a hold of my best friend, who was the British bodybuilding champion 3 times, top 10 in the world. He came over to train me, and basically I lost 20 kilos, got a six-pack within 6 months, and by 47, I was modeling underwear in a catwalk.
That's crazy. I'm trying to think of follow-up questions to that, Marco, but I'm like, wow. Like, I'm just reflecting on that.
I had no idea that would happen, but I thought, you know, fuck it, why not? I can do this. I can, because my friend kept saying to me, you can be a model, Marco. You've got great bone structure and all. I said, no, I'm too fat. So I never believed it. But until I believed it, then I believed it and it happened. You know what I mean? So I was stood in a room with like 50 models who were 21 years old and I'm like 47. And they're looking around at me going, what are you doing here, uncle? So the irony was that the casting agent looked at me because it said, take your T-shirt off. And she looked at me and said, right, you're first because you got the best body. So all the models looked around at me and said, how the hell did you get a body like that? And I said to them, you need to up your game because what I do is train very hard because I want it so bad.
So that's that determination that has led you through on business.
Yeah.
To provide for your mom, for the real estate, for the brand, now cryptocurrency, the model, and then the feature film as well. Unbelievable.
Yeah, because I learned that DNA of struggle and really the pain it comes with and the work ethic, you have to put everything you've got or don't bother doing it, that has got me through every opportunity and problem through my entire life. You know, there's no easy way to do it. You either do it right or you don't bother doing it.
Those are words to live by if I ever heard any. So, Marco, let's change up a little bit. I want to talk to you about formal education, because like we mentioned before, both of us, we didn't go on to college, we didn't go on to university, we both left high school at a very young age. What's your opinion about institutional education or formal education?
Formal education, as we know it, is completely irrelevant to the skills you need in everyday life in business now. So if you think about it, you don't learn anything about money in school. You don't learn anything about business in school. You don't learn anything about relationships in school. You don't learn anything in school that you need in life. You know, you don't even learn how to pay bills in school. It's just ridiculous. Now, I knew that very early in school that none of the information I was learning was going to be any use to me. You know, when was I going to use Pythagoras? When was I going to use trigonometry? When was I going to use algebra? Just a waste of time for me because I wasn't going to use it. So schools are very, like, thousands of years behind where they should be. And that has proven, because what schools do is they teach a person to work for a company, to obey, to be good, and have a great attitude, and be paid a salary. That's the end objective of a school education or university education. But, you know, that's not reality anymore because you don't have a job for life anymore. Robots have replaced 60, 70% of manufacturing workers now. So there's no long-term jobs anymore. The skills you need are becoming an entrepreneur, learning how to trade currencies and investments, and doing online businesses that serve people, doing relevant businesses for the time that we're in terms of trends. And there's no education in any conventional school or university that caters for that right now.
You've basically just taken my message and repeated it back to me verbatim. That's unbelievable, Marco. So how do you make sure that your children have a proper education? What are you doing to teach them?
One thing, mate. I'll tell you one thing, really simple. If you want to get something, you go to someone who's already got it. So what I do is I become their mentor, and then I find mentors that can help them become better. So for example, my son's a racing driver, so I can't teach him how to drive a car better. Only a winning racing driver can do that. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, absolutely.
So I found him a mentor that was the world champion and now still wins races, and he is his driving coach. So I've learned that you need a coach for every discipline, but the coach has to have actually succeeded in what they're teaching you first. That's the most powerful and simple way I can put it.
Because I think it's unbelievable that you could go to university and study business from someone who's never started a business before. When I want to learn a skill, I will find someone who's done what I want to do. I will pay them whatever it is. Usually the more I pay them is actually the better, because I get more of their time, more of their attention. I try to pay someone the most that I can instead of trying to save money on things like this. And I just follow exactly what they do. I don't try to reinvent the wheel. And I think that's kind of what you're saying as well.
That's what I'm saying. And you know, the world is so conditioned to get a student loan and take debt to pay the student loan back, and they can't even pay it before the 40. But to pay a mentor is like 5% of all that kind of education that you need, that you've been given, that you don't need.
Mm-hmm. So are you a big reader? Do you study? Do you take courses yourself or any type of programs to up your own skills?
I do read. I don't read as often as I used to, because literally I'm on the road and I'm with mastermind groups a lot of the time now. For example, I just spent the weekend in Cyprus with a billionaire, a banker billionaire, technology is one of only five in the world who's got a blockchain PhD. So I spend my time with those people rather than read as much, because I find it's more powerful doing that in terms of my growth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So what about going back in time? Are there any books that influenced you that maybe people should put on their reading list going forwards?
Yes. The first book I ever read properly from front to back was called Bring Out the Magic in Your Mind by Al Karan. And that is a book that really tells you how to believe in yourself and how belief is really changes your life completely when you know it. So when I got that book, it was actually written in the 50s, but you can go on Amazon, I think you can find it somewhere. That really changed my life in like a day. Literally, we read it 8 times, changed my life in a day. Next book I read, I still read it now, is called Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill.
A classic, absolutely.
Yeah. First edition, that kind of thing. Not the new one, but the first one he did.
The original, yeah.
Original. How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie.
I think I've read that book at least 21, 22 times.
Yeah, the best communication book there is in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Classic.
And a lot of others like that, but those are, I would say, the main three.
Yeah, so fundamental books.
Yeah, those three books for me are the backbone of who I am.
I don't know the first one. I'm definitely going to pick that up on Amazon, but the following two are definitely the backbone for all personal development books that were written in the 50, 60, 80 years following them.
Yes. I mean, as Malcolm Gladwell wrote Outliers, which is a very good book that said anyone could be successful in any skill as long as they put 10,000 hours into it. That was a good insight.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've not really read any books after those other three that gave me the fundamental knowledge in every chapter that was so powerful. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So spending a lot more of your time really studying those ones opposed to reading it once and then moving on to something shiny and new.
Yeah, I've got a first edition Think and Grow Rich in my suitcase I carry everywhere with me. 1937 edition, autographed by Napoleon Hill. I bought at an auction for $6,000 because I was invited to speak at Napoleon Hill as a keynote speaker. I met his grandson and he said, wow, I love what you do. And that's how I got the book. And I read the book pretty much every week. You know, that's how powerful that book still is to me.
Wow. And I bet you the price tag has gone up considerably from $6,000 when you first received it.
Yeah, but it was just amazing experience how I came to get that book and met his grandson, you know, and you got the DNA of really the visceralness of what he was all about by doing that event.
I love it. That's unbelievable. So you mentioned going to mastermind groups. If someone wanted to get into this type of learning, mastermind events, what kind of steps would you recommend to them?
Well, you've got to really want to change yourself and grow. That's the first thing. So when you're ready, you can start looking online at courses and stuff like that, and you're going to start checking people out. But, you know, I would recommend that you get to a seminar, get to a live event. Don't go and do webinars. The first thing you want to do is get to a live event with somebody that's got a proven track record. That means they're big on social media. They do a lot of live events now. They've helped a lot of people succeed. Those are the kind of people you want to go and see. And a lot of those people, the first event you go to is free. Oh, they don't cost a lot of money to go to anyway.
Okay. And then from there, what would you do? Would you approach them and ask for one-on-one coaching? Would you try to get to know them? Would you just purchase the coaches that the classes that they sell?
Well, just do as much of the course. Go to another course, as many as you can. So then you really have an idea of what you want to do, because a lot of the time you go to a course, but you don't have any breakthroughs. And breakthroughs, for me, the best motivational guy is Tony Robbins.
Yeah, I've got my Diamond Premier tickets booked, top level tickets for UPW in March this year. So I'm pretty thrilled about that.
That's the first event I would do as an eager student, because that event is very immersive. You know, you walk on fire and stuff like that. So you have a lot of personal breakthroughs in terms of self-confidence. And a lot of that self-confidence is what you need to actually get to the next level. So that you unleash the power within is probably the best signature motivational seminar you've got out there. And everyone's really lucky that Tony Robbins is still alive, because there's no one out there that can touch that guy right now.
Absolutely. It's one of the reasons that I'm going right now before he, you know, loses his voice or something happens, because I think he really is a gift to humanity.
It's a gift and you need to go. And, I'm sure you tell your subscribers that. I've been to many of his events. I have been repeatedly, I've been to 10 Unleash the Power Withins.
Wow.
You know, so.
This will be my first one. So I'm pretty thrilled about it.
It's not just about going to one event. It's actually going again, because repetition is the mother of learning. And you've got to keep repeating that conditioning to get rid of the old shit that doesn't work for you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Any other courses or classes or mentors out there that you would really recommend people to check into?
There's many. I mean, obviously, you know, I would say come and see me at one of my events around the world. I'm doing events all the time. Follow me on my social media. I'll give you events and things and other speakers that you can see. Brendan Burchard is a good speaker in terms of motivation. He's really good. I've been to a lot of his events. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done a lot of his coursework online as well. He's a monster. His look at personal development is just unbelievable.
Yeah, because he really, in terms of communication, he really gets that, and he really gets that over to you, that your message about you is what's most important. You've got to work on that. So there's lots of people, but I would say there's probably 10 people out there that are really powerful. You know, the online guys like Ryan Dice, Frank Kern, you know, all these people out there that are really successful. You need to get a chance to go and see these people and see how they've done it, you know?
And if people wanted to go out and see you live in one of your seminars, what seminars are you doing this year, Marco?
Well, mostly my events are on Bitcoin and crypto as a way of creating wealth. So those are my major events. And I also do keynotes and motivational stuff. I mean, like, for example, last year I was in Peru talking to all the universities in Peru. We had 5,000 people at an event. It was a 2-day course. I had them jumping up and down for 2 days, a bit like Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
So stuff, I do 3-4 those a year. I do retreats. My next retreat is in Monaco in March, like a 4-day retreat where I teach people the beginner's course on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, like a 4-day course. So stuff like that, you know, that's what I do.
Excellent. So if they follow you on Twitter at Marco Robinson 7, as in number 7, they'll be able to follow up and get all the information for those as well.
Yeah, they can see all of that. They can see all of that, all those updates, yeah.
That's excellent. So say, Marco, that I came to one of your events and me and you were having a beer or something afterwards, and I lean in and I want to know, Marco, what's that $1 million secret? What's that $1 million secret that if you told me, you'd have to kill me?
That $1 million secret is you're exhausted. You've done everything you can. You've struggled like hell. You've given up so many times and you've got to a stage where you're thinking to yourself, is it really worth it? And you ask that question, yes, it's worth it, because you're touching your fingertips on the ceiling and you're just about to have a breakthrough. And in the most frustrating times is where you have the most astounding breakthroughs in your life. Always remember that.
I love it. That's brilliant. Marco, your story is unbelievable. So, so inspirational. Thank you so much for being on the show. If my listeners want to get a hold of you, if they want to follow you, where should they reach out to you?
Just go to my Twitter account or my Instagram, Marco Robinson Now. Marco Robinson Now on Instagram. Or Twitter, Marco Robinson 7. I'm posting content every day, so you'll get me there.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate your time, Marco.
Thank you, Mikhail. All the best.
This episode may be over, but your journey to greatness continues by visiting our webpage and signing up for our newsletter. For convenient access to new episodes, show notes, and other crucial resources, visit expatmoneyshow.com. We look forward to you joining us on the next episode of the Expat Money Show. Safe travels.